Last week in church, we talked about truth. And I would like to talk about truth. Of course, anything we ever talk about, I want to only be truth. Does anybody have any clue about discipling? What being a disciple or discipling somebody? Does anybody have any ideas or thoughts on that? What I find was noteworthy, more than noteworthy. It was a delight unto my heart in such that I could say to the Lord, okay, Lord, now that that's happened, I'm ready to go home. When Larry wrote me about discipling a brother and said, what do you think? And I said, I believe that's God. Of course, he had asked me, and then he wrote me. I said, I believe that's God. And then he said, he wrote me back and said, I think God wants me to, I think we're going to talk about this in his life. And when I read it, I thought, okay, that's something that could help him in his life. But I wonder if that's what God wants, you know? I wonder if that's what God's leading. And what blessed me beyond what I can explain is when I got another email from Larry, and it said, after I prayed and asked God, God said, this is what he needs. And I got so blessed because all of us have knowledge. And people don't just need to know what we know. They can pick up a Wikipedia, an encyclopedia, some Christian dictionary, and they can learn all these facts. What we need to know, see, the Bible tells us what is available. The Holy Spirit tells us what's right now applicable. If you want to know about that, where did I get that idea? I dare you to write down John chapter 4. Verses 23 and 24, meditate on them, even memorize them. But write out the verses, write out those two verses, and ask God to reveal to you what is it you see? What is it God wants you to see? In John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, I started to quote it and tell you, and God's like, nope. He said, it's for those that will go and look. So I'm not going to, but don't go look right now, please, okay? Write it down and spend some time. Okay, so what happened was Larry, moved by God, saw a need in another. See, God loves us. And he loves us so much, he wants to minister to us. But God has chosen to work through people primarily. And so what God does, remember in the Bible where it says that we as the church are his body? Well, God lives in us. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. The Spirit of Jesus Christ comes to live inside of you. Does anybody need verses on these things? If you do, just let me know and we'll give you as we go, okay? When you get saved, if you just want to look at Romans chapter 8, verse 9, it says, if you have not the Spirit of God, you're none of his. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, is our down payment. What's the word it uses? Can't think of it. He's our comforter. Whole lot of things about the Holy Spirit, but there's a word. Can't think of what it is. It's in the book of Romans. But the point is this, okay? When we get saved, when we trust in Christ as our Savior, then God comes to live inside of us as the Holy Spirit. And then he wants to live his life through us. He didn't come to be a bird in a cage. He came because he wants to live through us. But in order for him to live, we have to die. We have to die to our ways, die to our thinking, die to our plans, die to our understanding of how we think things ought to be. And he's all about this relationship. He wants us to hang out with him. By the way, this is a thought that came to me when I was praying this morning, so I'm just going to share it with you. Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 to 40, is the life verse for this church, the life passage. It's not just for me. Matthew 22, 34 to 40. It's what this church is about. This is a relationship church. God wants, I believe, every church to be a relationship church. And if you read Matthew 22, 34 to 40, you'll see that that's where I got it. And when we started this church against my will about 9 years ago, God said to me, do you know what kind of church this is? And I said, I've never seen anything like it, because we've started 9 other ones. And when we started this one, it was completely different. And I'm like, God, what are you doing? And he said, do you know what kind of church this is? I said, I don't have any idea. He said, a relationship church. Now, you got to understand, I was ordained Baptist. I understood Baptist churches. I preached in Baptist churches all over America, started Baptist churches, understand Baptist doctrine, blah, blah, blah. Then in 93, he told me I wasn't a Baptist anymore because he wanted me to be his servant and not a servant of man. He said, you can't follow me and man. Remember, Matthew 6, 24, no man can serve two masters. Okay? Now watch. So I'm like, okay, so you want me to follow you? So it took from 93 till about 2000, whatever, 8 or 9 years ago is. 05 is, I think, when we started this church. So it took, you know, 12 years, because I'm such a quick learner, for me to make the transition. I'm sorry. Let's just be honest. Hey, I am a learner, though. I got it. There's some people that, you know, the Israelites walked around that mountain for 40 years and never got it, and he had to kill them. You know? It's like, okay, I'm everybody, out of the pool. We got to start over, you know, with your kids. Because y'all don't get it, you know? You won't move by faith. You only move by sight. Which, by the way, I'm sorry, I just got a lot of thoughts inside of me I want to share with you. Please write this down somewhere, but I'm not exactly... Let it flow out of me for a second. Now, hang on a second before you start writing. How foolish is it for us to judge God's presence by our feelings? How foolish is it to judge God's presence in our lives by our feelings? When everything's going good, God's good. But when everything's not going good, we're accusing God, doubting God, wondering where's God. If you will need a verse for that, Hebrews 13:5, and another one would be Luke 15:31. But Hebrews 13:5, I love it because we teach it to kids. Do you got a hand? Okay, watch this now. You ready? Hebrews 13:5. You ready? Jesus will never leave me. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hebrews 13:5. But we feel like he's left us because of our feelings, because of our situations. Sometimes God's trying to direct us. I want you to hear this on purpose. Sometimes God is trying to direct us specifically. Matter of fact, he's always doing that. To direct us specifically by shutting every other door because we're trying to do it our way. We're not depending on him. We're not trusting in him. He's not our daddy. We're not letting him be our daddy. We're like the kid. I'll do it my way. And we're resisting him. He still loves us, but he's hurt when we do that. And we're hurt because we're trying to live life without God. We're trying to do it our way. We're trying to figure it all out. We're trying to make it happen. You are looking at a prime example of a bad example. So much of my life, I was a make-it-happen person. I can make things happen. I was what they called a mover and a shaker. I was a salesman, and I could go in places. I broke 2 companies' records, 35-year sales records, 2 different companies, a cemetery selling pre-planned burials, and a home improvement company that was number 13 in the country. And the other one was, I don't know what they were, but they were pretty high up in the country. I don't know what their ranking was. But it was because I was a mover and a shaker. But it was also because God was in it, but there was a whole lot of Harvey in it. And now in my business that I have, I am very careful. I try to be very careful not to talk people into things. I let them know what's available. I lay it all out before them. I let them know what they're going to run into if they call around. Half my business for 25 years is redoing what somebody else did. I tell them, here's all these referrals, like Godwin Plumbing's referred me to over 5,000 people that I've done, including tubs of towels in their own homes. But I say, look, it's before you. Go wherever. You do whatever. I said, but make sure you have peace with what you choose because you're going to live with that decision. And I tell him, I don't want you to become a casualty that I hear every day of people calling me back saying, I wish I would have gone with you, but I went with somebody else. And now they've got my money, but they won't return my calls. It's a bad job, blah, 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 all this stuff I hear all the time. And we have bad jobs, but I go back and take care of it without charging them. You know what I'm saying? There's times we've gone back to a job and I sent Dave there, for example, and Dave say, Harvey, it looks like somebody just didn't do it right. He said, it's just coming off. And I said, what needs to happen? What's the right thing? He said, the right thing is that we just strip it and redo it. So now I just ate a $405 job. I'm paying two different people to do the work because I paid somebody in the beginning. Now I'm doing it again. Plus, I'm paying for it by having to affect my business because that doesn't make people feel good when you have to redo it. But then it makes them feel good because you did redo it and it's done right. And you didn't charge them, and you took care of them. But now I'm paying a second person, and I've paid for materials twice. Did I make any money on that job? And that's what I'm trying to say. And that's what Jesus does. There's a verse in Psalms, I think it's 55:17, I could be wrong. And it says, one that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. One that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. I'm not sure. 55:17 is a verse. I can't think of what that one is. It's probably something different. But one that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. One that gives his word and then doesn't, well, I can't do that. Well, I didn't know that. Did you give your word? When you get married, better or worse? We just think it's going to all be better because we only got stars in our eyes and got stars in our ears. When we go to counseling, we can't hear, you know. So when we go to marry people, and I tell people, we're going to have 6 weeks of counseling, a week between each counseling, and you're going to have homework. And if you don't do your homework, then we don't do the next counseling. Yeah, but we got to get married. We got a date. Then you better follow the rules. Otherwise, go find somebody else that will just bless what you're doing. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to help you get a Jesus marriage. And I'm going to give you tools that you need so that it lasts, so you don't become a casualty. And even the people that are married. I mean, besides all the divorces, even the people that are married, how come they have to keep getting bigger cars to sit further apart? How come they look at each other like that? How come they don't sleep together anymore? What? I'm sorry. I want Jesus in your life. I want to help you with everything in your life. And I may seem a little harsh, a little rough, a little demanding at times. Guilty. Okay. Now that we're past that, I'm sorry. I wish I could be all soft and all, you know, a bowl of jelly for you and just make you feel good all the time. But I'd rather tell you the truth. I would rather help you live the truth. And I would rather get you to Jesus, not just let you do whatever you want and then you end up with these bad results. I care about you. God cares about you. He doesn't change. He doesn't wink at sin. He doesn't say, oh, well, because I'm such a good God, I won't let anybody go to hell. No. He did everything possible and necessary to save us. But he allows everybody to have a free will. Well, guess what? He allows us to have a free will after we get saved. And we get to choose who's going to live through us. And if it's self, you won't like the result of self living in you. But if you'll lose your life, you can find Jesus' life. And it's like I tell those kids downtown, what's up, man? Jesus. And you can't get higher than him, so why do you try? I've never found a better life than Jesus. I've got peace. I've got joy. I've got oil in my life that makes everything go smoother and last longer. Because Jesus, the Holy Spirit, he's likened unto oil. And it's like everything God's way works. If you don't get anything today, just memorize those three words. God's way works. Not my way works or my version of God works. God's way works. We just got to learn how to do it God's way. I'm always amazed when somebody said, I tried Jesus and he didn't work. Excuse me? I tried God. That didn't work. Is he a pair of pants? Or is he a Coke? You tried him? It didn't work? He was a recipe? I said, could it possibly be the part that you had to do with it? You know? Here's a little, what do they call those things? Here's a little postcard. Let me know how that works for you. What did you find that works? Okay, so let's go back. Mentoring people. Look right now at Matthew 28, verse 18, please. Matthew 28, 18. Is that where I want to be? 19. What does Jesus say here? That word teaching them is discipling them. You know what it means to disciple somebody? Do you know what it means? To make them a disciplined follower. To teach them how to be a disciplined follower. Now, we want to be disciples of Christ. But there was people that were disciples of Hitler. There's people that are disciples of Satan, you know, the ISIS. You understand? It all requires discipline. If you're in ISIS and you don't have discipline, they're going to kill you. Because you don't obey, you don't follow, you don't do it their way, they're going to kill you. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? Disciple means you're training another. So if we go back to what we were talking about, Matthew 22, 34 to 40, what is the whole key passage of this church? It's relationship. Now watch this, a cross. Are you ready? You've heard this before, but maybe you're going to see it different. You ready? Discipleship. Jesus said, love God with everything. Love God with all your heart. Love God with all your soul. Love God with all your mind. Love God with all your strength. Love God. Come on in. I don't think anybody here will bite. Not one. Is anybody going to bite? Good. I'm glad not. I have to smack you on your nose. Okay, here we go. You ready? If anybody's going to bite, it's going to be me. Just don't get too close to me. I might bite. Okay, you ready? So Jesus is talking to a lawyer who's trying to trip him up. You think a lawyer could trip you up? I was watching a Perry Mason last night or the day before, and the guy said, don't try to trip me up with all that lawyer talk. And the lawyer says to Jesus, Master, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, well, let's make this real simple for you, lawyer. He said, vertically, love God with everything. Love God with all your heart. Love God with all your soul. Love God with all your mind. Love God with all your strength. Do you know what your soul is? It's your mind, your will, and your emotions. You are a living soul. Mind, will, emotions. You ready? Now watch. He said, vertically, love God with everything. If you love God with everything, guess what? Out of you will flow love to other people. If your relationship with God isn't right, your relationship with people won't be right. If your understanding of God isn't right, then your understanding is not going to be right to flow out to other people. For example, if you don't know that God loves you unconditionally and eternally, God loves you 100% right now, whether you ever change or whether you ever do right or not. Do you know that God loves the people that are in hell? It breaks His heart. He's a person. He created this guy in His image. He created him. He had a purpose. He had a plan. He made him just like Him. He wanted a fellowship with Him. He wanted to have somebody that loved Him for who He is, and somebody who wanted to spend time with Him. Not just want to use Him for what you could do, you know, God could do for him. And then God gave him a free will, and then the guy went off and got caught up in all the physical things and the distractions of this world, and got caught up in all this stuff and forgot his Maker. But God didn't forget him. Every day God gave him strength to get up out of bed. Every day God provided for him to have food to eat, kept giving him sunshine so it wasn't too close or too far, so he could have the right warmth. Do you understand? Protected that nickel's worth of iodine in his brain so he didn't become a babbling idiot. I don't know if you know about that, but we have about a nickel's worth of iodine that if we didn't have it, we'd be babbling idiots. The females have 4 cents worth. But I'm only kidding. You open the door. Yes, ma'am. I understand. I resemble that. Okay. I think it's the other way. The women have 10 cents, the guys have 5 cents. Okay, but anyway, here we go. Are you ready? And God loved this man, but this man never turned to him. This man never acknowledged him, didn't talk to him, didn't trust in him, didn't have any fellowship with God, didn't care about God. He only cared about himself. And then this man ended up going to hell. And God, He made him just like as if it was your little child. And you're, you know, the mothers that have children that go astray and do all kinds of bad stuff, the mothers keep believing in that child. The mothers keep loving the child. They don't give up on them, even when the child gives up and becomes a mass murderer or whatever. Do you understand? Now, do you think they're better than God? Where do you think they got that heart? Us men were like, straighten up, quit crying, do right, you know. And women are like, oh, you know, kissing and hugging. Because we're made in the image of God, male and female created in them. We're different, but we're all a reflection of God, different aspects of God. And so God, if somebody doesn't know that they are eternally and unconditionally loved and accepted, then they think, you only love me if I dress right, if I act right, if I talk right, according to you. If I do what's right according to you, then I'm accepted. If I don't do what's right according to you, you're going to give me the look. You're going to reject me. You're going to shake your head at me. You're going to shun me. And that's how people treat us. But God made people in His image, but then people get corrupted. And they make choices. And they start believing all this stuff instead of believing God. Even though down inside they know, they don't believe that because they've been hurt so much. And because they've been hurt and rejected and pain, what ends up happening is they think God's like that. They think God's just, I got all these rules. I got all these rules. If you keep the rules, you're accepted. Boom, you don't keep the rules, everybody, out of the pool, go to hell. That's not God. Is there anybody in this place that can keep God's rules perfectly? Anybody in this place want to keep God's rules perfectly? But is there anybody that doesn't? That's why God provided for us through Jesus. An amazing thought to me in the last week that I got about a week or so ago is that first God made us in His image, and then because we were so messed up and so many people were on their way to hell, God made Himself in our image and came down here to become one of us. He made us in His image, and then He made Himself in our image so He could become one of us, so He could get what we deserve, so we wouldn't get what we deserve. When Jesus said, "Father, treat me as if I'm Harvey. Treat me as if I'm a liar, a thief, a whoremonger, a drug dealer." And Father said, "But Jesus, if I treat you like Harvey, that'd kill you." And Jesus said, "I know, but I don't want it to kill Harvey. I don't know anybody like that who take what I deserve." And then it didn't even stop there. He said, "Now let me give you everything I deserve. You get sweet fellowship with the Father. You get to go to heaven. You get to have forgiveness, a pardon, mercy." He says, "I'll even adopt you in my family, and you can become a little baby Christian." It's the best swap meet I ever entered into. Jesus got what I deserve, and then I get what Jesus deserves. How can I help but love that guy? So let's go back. The lawyer says to Jesus, "Master, what's the greatest commandment?" He said, "Love God with everything. And then love your neighbor as you love yourself." And then he made this statement, "On these two commandments, hang all the law and the prophets." The whole Bible is summed up in these two commandments. Love God and love others. By the way, if you look at the Ten Commandments, the first four deal with our love toward God. Not the last four, the first four. The last six deal with our love toward man. Relationship with God, relationship with man. When you have a right relationship with God, when you find out that God loves you for who you are, and doesn't just love you for what you do, He loves you when you're not even doing right. He loved me so much that when I was a drug dealer, He came looking for me. I was lost, and I didn't even know it. I was blind, and I didn't even know it. I was deaf, and I didn't even know it. People around me knew I was blind. I couldn't see stuff. That I was deaf. I couldn't listen. I was so full of pride, my own ego. But Jesus came looking for me, the great shepherd. And He loved me for who I am, not what I do. And when you find out that He loves you, He believes in you, He wants you. I'll never forget the day I got saved. The preacher said, "God, Harvey wants to tell you something." And when he said that, with my eyes closed, I saw Jesus Christ Himself walking in the room, walking toward me like this. Like, "I want you." And I was so blown away that He wanted me. Because in the old dictionaries, under the word sinner, it said, "See, Harvey, if you could do it wrong, I've done it wrong." And I'm like, "Are you kidding? I know who you are. I've been in church. I know who you are, and I know what I am." So I started trying to bail the boat out, empty all my sin. "God, I'm sorry I did this, and I'm sorry I did that, and I'm sorry I hurt this, and I'm sorry. For 15 minutes, I was bailing that boat, confessing my sin. And after 15 minutes, it wasn't any more empty than when I started. And I could see I was going under. And I said, "I don't know what else to do, God." he says, I didn't want either, her. He said, I know just what to do. When you learn, when you believe, when you accept that He loves you for who you are, not what you do. When you understand that He wants you, can we be friends for a minute? He wants you to come and sit on His lap.
Oh, yeah, okay.
He wants to hug you and hold you. He wants to run His fingers through your hair. He wants to kiss you on your head. When you learn, that's the relationship that our Heavenly Papa wants. And you learn to go there. You learn to get loved on and believed in. When you get that in you, please look at me and listen to this. When you get that in you, that's what's going to flow out of you. And until you learn that, you're going to still think that God, you're going to have all these doubts about God. Because you're going to think He's like people that you've met or people that have treated you certain ways. He's going to be like my ex-husband. He's going to be like my dad who drank and beat me. He's going to be like my brother who always picked on me, or my three brothers who always picked on me. He's going to be like the people that said they were my friends, but they turned on me. Do you understand? But when you come to know God as your daddy, who loves you, who believes in you, who wants you, who cares about your every need, until you come to that place, you're going to think He's like other people. Has anybody come to that place and know God as their daddy? Okay, I want you to look around. Because there's most people in this room were raising their hand. But there's more. Even if you've got wherever you've got, there's more. There's more. There's a whole lot more. He's a whole lot bigger than what you've experienced so far. So I want you to remember something. The passage, the key passage God told me when we started this church. Remember I told you it was against my will? He said, start a church. I said, I don't want to. I said, I've already done that 9 times. I'm tired of North American Christianity. Send me to Africa. Send me to South America. Send me somewhere where they want to hear. They don't want to hear in America. They want to have their nice little fuzzy feeling and then go do whatever. They want God to bless what they're doing. And I bring them the Word of God and they don't want to hear the Word of God. I said, please send me anywhere but America. And he says, no, we're going to start a church. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. And his answer to me was, so? What does that mean? I'm like, okay, you can have your way again. So we started this church against my will. I didn't want to start it. And he says, now, after about 3 weeks into it, he said, do you know what kind of church this is? I said, I've never seen anything like it. We've done all these other churches, but I don't know what this kind of church is. What is this? He said, it's called a relationship church. That's what it says if you go to our website, a relationship church. Burning Bush, a relationship church. I said, chapter and verse, please. Where is that in the Bible? Where? A relationship church. And he said, Matthew 22:34-40. You need to know that. Because that's where we're going. And that's where we're going to camp out every single time we ever talk. It's going to be built on a foundation of relationship. It's not just you knowing about religious truths. Every one of you knows religious truths. But how much of it are you living? You know it, but you don't even feel like it's true. But man, you know it because somebody drummed it in your head. And then a lot of stuff that we think is true isn't true. So I'm just letting you know a process. Are we past time or something? Do you have something you want to say? Or am I doing something or something? Yeah, I understand. My dad used to get me where I couldn't sit, too. I've had lots of days where I couldn't sit. My mom did that, too. She used a belt about that long. It didn't have a buckle on it. And she'd have it hanging. I could just still see it there. Go get me the belt, please. I don't want to go get you one. Something to beat me with, you know. Like, why don't you go get it, you know. Like, but you wouldn't tell her that. No. You go get her the belt. She'd grab a hold of your hand, your wrist, and she'd start on. And I would wear a hole in that floor running as fast as I could. And she would just held on to me as she turned. Wow, 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 wow. I am so thankful. But I didn't like it a bit back then. But I am so thankful because that's what I needed. Because I had a lot of rebellion and a lot of self-will in me. Mostly self-will. I thought I could have run the world all by myself, you know, if everybody just do what I tell them. You ever thought that? If they would just move out of the way, if they would just do what I tell them, everything else would straighten up, right? Guess what? Everything else wouldn't straighten up. The whole world would spin off into eternity if you and I ran it. God says to me, this is a relationship church. It's all about relationship. The very first thing we have to work on is our relationship with God. And we need to ask God, God, who are you? God, who are you? I really want to know you. That's why on the back of our business cards, our church business cards, it has those three prayers. And the first one, Father, please reveal to me who you really are and what you're really like. That's why you need to get this card and you need to pray this prayer, these prayers. Not because they're my prayers, they're not mine. They're something God gave me, led me into. And then after I'd prayed them a number of years, he said, I want you to write them down because other people need them. I'd been sharing them with people as God led me. And they were writing them down. But he said, I want you to write them down. When we printed up cards, he said, on the other side, I want you to put those three prayers. In the very first one, Father, please reveal who you really are to me because I really want to know you. When you start going through this process, the very first thing God's going to do is he's going to start working in you. And when people come here, for example, and they start hearing this, or when God's working this process, he's going to start challenging what you think you know about God. And what he's going to end up doing is basically pulling the rug out from you of all your foundation that you've been living by. And he's going to say, now that I've got it out from under you, he said, we're going to go over it inch by inch and see what really is of me. Because a lot of things you've been believing and building your life on and your feelings and your choices are not based on truth. They're based on hurts. And he said, I'm the comforter. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to kiss your little boo-boos. I'm going to get you all healed up. He said, they're based on lies. And he says, and I am the truth. And he says, we're going to replace these lies with truth. He said, but we're only doing them one at a time. As you are presented with the truth, he said, now you have to make, he said, I'm going to bring the lie to the surface that you have inside of you. And you're going to have to break agreement with the lie to get a hold of the truth. Because until then, you can only hear the truth and have it in your head, but it's not living in you. Because something's living in you. And it's either a lie or a truth in every area of your life. And he said, and as I begin to take you through this process, you're going to get to a place where you feel like you're falling off a cliff. You feel like you don't even know what's up anymore. You don't even know what's right anymore. Because that's where God has to bring us, to start us over as little children so we can become His child instead of a child of religion. Do you understand? God cares about you. This is a process to help you. You heard the story of the eagles, true story. This is what eagles do. They build their nest way up high in the rocks, and they make their nest out of sharp, prickly things, you know, sharp twigs and stones and things like that. Yeah, I understand. And then they cover it with soft stuff, like fur and downy fur and all that stuff. And then when the little eaglets get big enough and it's time for them to fly, they pull out all the soft stuff out of the nest. And that makes the nest uncomfortable. And you're going to get to a place where your nest is uncomfortable. And you're going to have a choice. You can run, but how are you going to run from God? You just think it's me or burning bush. It's not. It's God. Because it happens all over the world. It doesn't have to be burning bush. Burning bush is just one tool. One of his houses. And so those little eagles, it's uncomfortable in that nest. So they climb out and get up on the edge. And the mom says, you need to fly. And they look over the edge and say, Mom, what you been smoking? It's high. It's a long way down there. A guy could get hurt. Mom, you been drinking again? And let me smell your breath, Mom. Okay. And so the mom, because she loves that little eaglet, she doesn't want him to be a chicken and walk around. He's not a ground bird. He's an air bird. So she comes over to him and she takes her nose and she pushes him out of the nest. And while he's tumbling through the air, she flies right beside him. Stretch out your wings. What? Mom! Ah! Stretch out your wings. And the little guy, stretch. Poof. All of a sudden, he's floating. Dude, check this out! I just saw it on the movie, but look at now I'm doing it! Wow! It's better than the video game! But if he doesn't put his wings out, the mother flies right underneath him, catches him, brings him back up, waits for him to recoup a little bit. And she says, you ready to do that again? And he's looking for some place to hide, but it's a round nest. And there's doesn't matter where he goes, she's going to push him out. So she just keeps the process up until he learns to fly and fulfill what he was designed to be, which is an air bird. Do you want to fulfill what you were designed to be? Do you want to become what you were designed to be? Or do you want to spend one more night with the frogs? You like how life treats you. Or would you like to learn to walk in the water, or do you like thrash around in the water wondering if you're going to drown? I had people call me on Friday, some of my customers or guys that I do work with, you know, other companies, and a number of them said to me, how are you doing? And I said, well, my nose is above water today. The way my life has been going for the last 6-8 weeks, I keep feeling like I'm not even going to make it, because the way my life, I lost 2 of my 3 workers in one day, and my life got real hard. And I'm like, God, I can't make this. And he said, nope, you can't do it without me. He said, do you think it's too hard for me? I go, no, you got it from the dead. What couldn't you do? You could do anything. And he's like, well, I could handle this. He said, hard, but you got to depend on me. Don't ask me to bless what you're doing. Ask me to carry you. Because I told him, I said, what I tell him every day is, Father, I don't just need your help. I need you to carry me. Do you need him to carry you? Do you need him to carry you? Because you see, we want Him to come bless us. We want Him to come, if you just give me this, if you just do this, if you just do that. He's not our mushy grandpa. He knows what's best for us. He will do what's best for us. He loves you for who you are. He does not love you for what you do. Just get this. God loves me for who I am. He doesn't love me for what I do. He loves me for who I am. He doesn't love me for what I do. Do you know that God doesn't love you better when you do better? I don't think you know that. I don't think everybody in here knows that. God does not love you better when you do better. He loves you 100% right now, whether you ever do better or not. He loves Hitler, but Hitler still went to hell. Do you understand? And He still loves Hitler in hell. God still cries over Hitler because He made him in His image. But Hitler, because he had a free will, just like you and me, got to choose what he was going to believe and what he was going to do and where he was going to go with that. And he had to go against God. He had to go against what God put inside of him. Do you understand? You need to learn to live the way of peace. I want to give you a little verse, a piece of a verse. I want you to write it down, and I want you to go home this week, and I want you to meditate on this verse. If you don't get anything else, of course, I know I say that about a lot of things, but I can't help it. It goes like this. Colossians 3:15, and the reason I say A is because it's to the first punctuation mark, which is a comma. Colossians 3:15A says this, let the peace of God rule in your heart. You know what I tell my customers? Well, I'm just calling around to find who has the best deal. And I explain to him and I tell him, I've been doing this 25 years. Half my business every day is redoing what another company did. I could name 50 companies in Grand Rapids and you know every one of them. Godwin Plumbing, Rockford Construction, GVSU, Penning Plumbing. I mean, you name the builder, plumber, remodeler, plumbing supply, Insignia Homes, BDR Builders. You name them and I do work for them. And I said, and no other company in Michigan can even come close to saying what I'm saying or even in Grand Rapids. I said, but make sure you have peace with who you choose, whatever company you choose, because you're going to live with that decision. And every day, people call me. I went with this other company, and there's problems, and they won't answer the phone. They won't come back. They've been back 5 times, and it still looks terrible. It's the wrong color. Blah, 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 blah. But I told him in the beginning, please make sure you have peace with what you choose. Are you listening to me? Anything in your life, I'm giving you a key and then we're done. Not because I'm done, but because I have to stop. You ready? In your life, you're going to make a decision. Do I have peace with that? Could I kind of like, I always look over my right shoulder. Could I look up at the Father and see Him smiling about this? I don't think He'd be smiling about this. I don't want to do it then. I don't move until I'm sure. God told us to come to Grand Rapids in 1989. I was preaching all over America. He told me He was going to move me to a new home church. People would ask me to join their churches all over America. You know, I'd preach and they'd say, oh, come join our church. And I'd pray and God said, not here, not here, not here. And that went on for a year as we preached all over America. Came to Grand Rapids, preached Sunday morning, Sunday night. I was doing a week-long meeting. Sunday morning, Sunday night. Sunday night, went back to the hotel. God says, this is the church I want you to join. Now, I'm not telling you to talk to God like this. I'm just telling you how I talk to God, but I have a relationship with Him. And I said, if this is where you want me, you tell Him. I'm not going to tell Him. That was on Sunday night. Tuesday morning, the pastor and assistant pastor called me up and said, we need to meet you at the church building. I get there and they said, we feel like God wants you to come join here for us to buy you a motorhome, blah, 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 blah. I didn't tell him God had told me that. I just said, okay, well, we'll pray about it. And then the last night of the meeting, everybody in the church gathered around us after we had been there for a week, crying, hugging us. We don't want you to leave. We want you to stay. I didn't tell him God had already told me that. God was confirming what he had already told me. What I'm saying is, you got to go with what you have peace with. My wife did not want to move to Grand Rapids. I never knew my grandmother because she lived in Kalamazoo, and I grew up in Auburn Hills, Pontiac area, and I don't want my grandkids to not know me. You see, we have 22 or something like that grandkids. I can't remember exactly. I know. Watch this. And she said, I don't want to not know them, so I want to live over there. And it took 3 days for God to get a hold of her where she said, we both know God wants us to move to Grand Rapids. But I told God, I'm not going to move to Grand Rapids unless you change her heart. Because I'm not going to drag her and make her do it. If that's what you want, you deal with her. I can't deal with her. She's female. I said, you made her. You know what to do with her. I don't know what to do with her. I'm male. I can already take care of myself. I sure can't deal with her. I sure don't understand her. And God dealt with her heart. And she said, we both know God wants us to move to Grand Rapids, so we came here. You move according to peace. When you don't have peace, don't move. Romans 14:23, when in doubt, don't. When you have doubt, don't. When you doubt, don't do it.
What is that?
Romans 14:23. Here's another one. You can have it. I know you did, but maybe you need two. 14:23. If I remember correctly, it says, he that doubteth is damned if he eat, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. One of the principles there is, when in doubt, don't. Well, I'm not sure. Then don't do it! Well, I want to, but I just don't. Then don't do it! You got it yet? I can get louder. You got it yet? Anybody need to hear that again?
Amen.
You never heard that before. Have you heard it now? Okay. Jesus, looking forward to what you're going to do. We love you. Thank you for being so faithful. Thank you for loving us like we are. Thank you for loving us too much to leave us like we are or to leave us where we are. Thank you that you just keep come looking for us. You deal with our manners, our resisting. Please forgive us. We want to be closer to you. Do whatever it takes to get us there, Lord. We want to look and smell and be just like Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.